Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast covers everything tech. The hottest mobile phones, tablets, games. We review it, rate it, test it. Whether you're Microsoft or Apple, Android or iPhone, we'll give it to you
again and again.
Black and white. The Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the GSMC Technology Podcast. I am your host, Tom Doherty, and today we're going to be talking about a few things in the tech world. Starting off, we're going to be going over the new Xbox One X, the comparison over to the Xbox One S. The main thing is the Xbox One X, S, and X. It's going to be a different thing to enunciate here. The S is more that cheaper, compact model, and then the X coming out as that new, more expensive model that's going to have better graphics, better video card, better, more options for bigger storage. And it's just going to have a bigger price model as Xbox is trying to, or Microsoft is trying to diversify their, they're trying to diversify just their product line and just trying to hit as many different consumer bases as possible. So obviously you have your hardcore gamer and then just your run-of-the-mill person who just wants to use the Xbox for Netflix or maybe a couple different games. Also, you can obviously use it as a DVD player to stream sports. I mean, there's just this thing with the Xbox. I'll get into that in the first segment in a minute. The fact that it's so versatile and now becoming more popular, they want to be able to diversify that product line. Later in the show, we're also going to be going over the fact that Apple has hired a new AI chief, a new artificial intelligence chief from Google. It's just going to be interesting. There's been reports saying it's going to be a big test for Siri, as this chief was the lead in developing the personal assistant over at Google, and a different little privacy stance now coming over to Siri and having to deal with her privacy stance. I say her, but Siri is a program. She does have a female persona. She's going to be tested there by this new chief coming in to try and maybe push her forward into the future and get some more tech involved and more software involved into Siri's capabilities. In the third segment, we're going to be going into the new iOS from Apple, iOS 11.3. It's been said it's a big one of the bigger iOS releases in years from Apple, but it already has had some significant problems, as there are some things surrounding a protocol that it's not being able to follow in order to have with these people who buy multiple iPhones for businesses or for mass big groups, that they all can kind of tie them all together. This protocol is kind of jumping over that. And then in the final segment, we're going to be going over just a couple different things. One of the bigger ones is that Microsoft is ready to release a new Windows 10 preview with different, they're calling it sets. They might come up with a different name for that, but it's basically the fact that you can run multiple programs in one window through tabs. So you can just have one window open and then also be running your, instead of having to toggle between different programs on your bottom bar as usually you would do on a computer or your personal computer, or your laptop, you're going to be able to run sets and have one big window open and then have different tabs to run those programs all through the same window. They're also increasing their Bluetooth capabilities with the voice recognition and then their keyboards, I believe. And then also a calculator is being upgraded to probably do more calculations. We'll get into that in the fourth segment here today. All right, so back to the first segment. Now we're going to start talking about the Xbox One X. Definitely something that Xbox has coveted. They've had their, or Microsoft has coveted their, it's their main competition against Sony with these console platforms. The Xbox, when the first Xbox One came out, it was so, I mean, I believe it was so revolutionary because the fact that it was just a seamless interface. And you were able to do so many different things at once on it. I mean, obviously, you're going to have all your games. It's a gaming console. That's the main idea behind it. but then you're also going to be able to move over to Netflix, be able to put a pop a DVD in there. You're going to have different apps for streaming. I have my Xbox One, and I basically use that thing as a big iPad. Kind of, if you want to make an Apple comparison there, or basically a big computer on my TV screen, because I have multiple apps on there. I can stream live sports. I could go watch my favorite shows. I can go pop in a DVD. I can go over to my games. You can now, all these games now, we have the new rave is Fortnite. It's all about those free to download games where we're getting into the micro purchases, or if you continue into the game, you want to further yourself in the game, you make a purchase within the game. We're seeing that kind of came over from the mobile app with Clash of Clans and the Candy Crush and all that stuff like that, where you're doing the micro purchases. Now we're getting there on the bigger scale on those bigger consoles, and it's all online. So with Xbox and their new product lines, they're coming out with more. With more consoles, obviously they have the S console. I was talking about S console. The Xbox One S came out last year, early last fall. It came out. That was a smaller model, definitely a little more slender in size, and then all this lower on the price model there, price level. So you were able just to get a little bit the same kind of technology you would get probably from the original Xbox One, maybe on a little lower scale there too. But then they also were able to get you what you wanted when it comes to the interface of the Xbox with the tiles and seamless interface, getting everything where you can just switch between different apps, whatever you feel like doing on that particular day if you're like more of a lower level gamer or just using it as an entertainment center. Now recently they've come out with this Xbox One X. The X, better graphics card, better RAM. It's better speeds, kind of everything. It's maybe for this new age of these online games where everything is kind of streaming through a server base that's like not off a disk or off of a usual local host that you're going to use to play your game. It's all off streaming. You're not even when you get Fortnite, you don't go to the store and buy a disc. You just go on your Xbox, you go to the store, you type in Fortnite, and you download it right off the game, right from the Xbox servers, Microsoft servers, and then you can play online with however many people you want to play. That's the new effect. Playing online has been around for a long time, but this is kind of the new way of doing it, where you're now going to be doing it for free. Everybody's playing for free. You don't have to go pre-order the game. You don't have to go to GameStop and get the disc. You don't have to order it on Amazon or go to Walmart or wherever you go to get your games. You literally just download it onto your console and start playing it with all your friends or people across the world. It's kind of amazing how we're seeing this transfer of popularity when it comes to games that are still the kind of same thing we like to do. All these first-person shooters. Now we're seeing like Fortnite is this game where it's kind of a combination of a first-person shooter and like a Minecraft style, where you're going to be able to be building your own maps. You can personalize your character. You can have whatever, pick up different kinds of weapons and stuff like that. So it's interesting now that you're seeing these console companies. We'll wait and see what Sony does with the PS4, if they're going to kind of follow the same Microsoft model when it comes to this diversification of console. You're going to have two different models of the console coming out. So this definitely is Xbox One X is going to be something that these gamers are going to be looking at as a upgrade, probably from the original Xbox Ones that they have already, because it does have the increased capability. So we'll see how that gets put out and how it all gets received by the market base and by the consumer base. So you have definitely an interesting decision there by Microsoft. Obviously they're trying to get ahead of everybody. I think it's a great decision because they're not only including the gamer, which is what these consoles were originally made for. The hardcore gamer. I remember having my roommates back in college all just huddled around. We had three Xboxes in one house and they're all huddled around playing one game all together on three different consoles. Now you have these new consoles that are coming out, and the differences are, just the power, design, and connectivity versus it's just kind of a kind of a way to get everybody on the same level here versus if you're just kind of a middle of the road like me, where you're not playing all these online games. You're basically using it for whether it's a sports game or Netflix or just kind of streaming something on off of the one of their apps. The S is probably what's going to be the one for you versus the X. It's going to be, like they're saying on Forbes.com, it's the most powerful console that Microsoft has ever released, this Xbox One X. So all those gamers out there, look up for that X. Save up for that X. You probably know it about it already because you have all your tech alerts. And when Microsoft came out with it, you probably knew it was going to be even come out before it even came out. So now we're talking about this review here. So the Xbox One X, it's just definitely, it's a little bit bigger. It's kind of the same size as that of the original Xbox versus the S is going to be smaller. So the Xbox One X is definitely a little heavier, definitely a little bulkier. And then it's definitely going to have a little more capabilities, whether it's the Bluetooth for the headsets. It's going to be the Ethernet capability when it comes to connecting the internet for your streaming and for your connectivity to these servers that you're going to be playing these massive, massive games on with multiple people from around the world. So, I mean, it's going to be looking up there. When it comes to performance, only major design tweaks compared to the Xbox One S for the X is far more important as than internally. I mean, if you want to get into the actual nuts and bolts of this whole thing, they both have 8 cores of the custom GPU, but the only difference is that RAM is 326 gigabytes. I mean, it's just ridiculous versus 12 gig GDDR5 RAM at 326 gigabytes versus only 68 for the Xbox One S. So it's just an upscale. It's going to give you a better 4K experience if you have those new 4K TVs coming out now. That Xbox One X is going to definitely make your viewing and your gameplay a little more vivid, as it is the point. Everybody likes to have a clear screen. You got to find out where all those people are so you can beat them at their own game. I mean, that's the whole idea here, right? It's a competition. So people want to be able to work faster. It's going to be more efficient. It's probably going to make the whole idea of this online gaming, like I was saying with the Fortnite, the fact that, I mean, we have had this before with the online, everybody playing Call of Duty, Halo online. This is now a new kind of thing where we're seeing, I think the first kind of thing I remember coming out like this, where it's the free to download, free to play, open marketplace kind of thing. It was called Warframe, same kind of thing. So you can make your character however you want. You can download you can have multiple characters, but then you start paying when they start getting to a certain level. If you're having trouble getting to a new level or trying to get some credit, whatever kind of currency they use inside the game, you can buy more of that currency with your own money. That's how they're going to start monetizing that game. Same kind of thing is happening in Fortnite, where you're saying, all right, let's let all these people download this game for free and then let them play, get addicted. I mean, I don't want to say it's addicted, but they are probably addicted to it. Going off of what I've seen off of social media and everything, people are just all over the place. We have athletes going out for this game, playing it all the wee hours of the night. There's different kinds of message boards and subreddits and Twitter accounts, all these videos of people taking screenshots of their screen, showing off their great great gameplay of this Fortnite game. I mean, it is really sweeping across the nation, and they're going to have to go probably make some purchases of their own to advance further in the game. That's how this game is going to make money. Either that, I don't think there's any advertisements in there. So it's just interesting how we're going that way. Now the consoles are kind of following suit to get you a better graphics card, to get you a better 4K bit capability with this Xbox One X. So, I mean, it is pretty techy. This is the Tech Podcast here at the GSNC Podcast Network. And we're talking about the Xbox One S versus the Xbox One X that just came out last month, versus the Xbox One S that came out last year. This is a smaller console. So if you need a little more compact capabilities, if you don't really need all that big hunk of big special and cool looking graphics cards and all the nice hardware on the inside, I would recommend you go get that Xbox One S, because those Xbox Ones are great entertainment centers. They're just so seamless. You can run Spotify on it. You can use it as a music player, and you can use it for your Netflix. You can use it obviously for gameplay, as is what's the original intention. I mean, there's tons and tons of apps. I mean, I watch sports on it. I watch regular TV on it. You can get ABC. You can get NBC Sports, CBS Sports. I think I was watching the NCAA tournament on my iPad and then also on the Xbox, so I can watch multiple games at once. I mean, it's just so capable and versatile. And then I would switch over and play some FIFA or something, because I play sports games. That's what I do. But yeah, so I'm not that kind of person that probably would go get the Xbox One X. I'm more of an S person, but there's definitely people out there who would want that better graphics card, that better capabilities. They can show off their 4K TVs they just got for Christmas last year or for their birthday, and then obviously go play, and it's going to be able to connect to that server for your Fortnite or for whatever online game you're playing to get online faster and reduce or probably eliminate. I could imagine that Xbox One X is going to eliminate that the fact of lag and stuff like that, because it's just more efficient connectability to their servers. All right. So that's going to wrap it up for the first segment. We talked a lot about the Xbox One X and kind of talking about the differences between the S and the X. Obviously, there's some glaring differences just at the first look, the different size. But when you open up the hood, definitely some differences on the inside. It's just more capable. It's the most powerful Xbox yet that Microsoft has put out. And it's also interesting the fact that the Xbox has now been diversified into two different kind of models. They've never done that before. We've always had just one generation of a console come out at a time: original Xbox, Xbox 360, and the Xbox One, and now we have the X, and the S, with the enunciate, because they're pretty similar. So I mean, Xbox is probably having some issues with that. We'll see, but no, that's all. It's going to wrap it up for this first segment. I'll be right back with some talk about Apple and their new hire to be in charge of Siri and their artificial intelligence program. We'll be right back.
The average sedan is built with a steel frame and equipped with 6 airbags. Remember this the next time you see someone walking. Drivers, be aware. Pedestrians don't have armor. A message from the California Office of Traffic Safety. The average SUV has 2 blind spots, weighs between 4 and 6,000 pounds, and takes about 6 seconds to stop. Remember this the next time you're on foot. Pay attention, people. Pedestrians don't have armor. A message from the California Office of Traffic Safety.
All right, welcome back to the GSMC Technology Podcast. Next segment, we're going to talk about the new hire at Apple, John Giandrea. He is just hired by Apple from Google to lead up their AI. He was over at Google as their AI chief, developed their personal assistant, as you can see on their Google Chromebooks. Now he's going to be being Siri's new boss. Say, hey Siri, meet your new boss. I mean, it's going to have some huge implication on this AI landscape, as they are going to make a change there. Giandrea was at Google started at Google in 2010 as part of its research and development team, and then quickly rose through the ranks as AI definitely took central control of that company over there at Google in Mountain View. So now he's going to be scooting on over to Cupertino, and over at Apple, their new offices, he's going to be able to do the same thing as he did at Google with Siri, as he definitely just got more. Made that personal assistant of Google. I mean, that's the whole idea, is like trying to make that AI more compatible to human life and make it more receptive to the human voice, make it more just, you know, easier accessible to it. So he's going to be directly reporting to Tim Cook, the Apple CEO, and then definitely trying to get Siri back on that high demand as it was before. So I mean, he's definitely going to be somebody that's going to be a big name, and they're going to be using him to get Siri, the same Siri, everywhere. I mean, that's the idea, is that all these new products are coming out for these home devices. But obviously, we saw the Amazon Alexa, and now we have the Google Home, and then Apple is going to be coming out with their same kind of thing. That's what Giandrea was doing at Google. He was kind of developing that personal assistant you see on the Google Home. And now Apple is going to be doing the same thing. So it's kind of interesting to see that we're going to have the same main name on both of these projects, as Apple is going to be trying to get Siri. I mean, they had Siri. Siri was a big phenomenon when the iPhones first came out, or when Siri was first put on the iPhone. I think it was the 3S. We all thought the S meant Siri. It couldn't mean the Siri. They kind of went away. They've gone away from that now. They stopped with the iPhone 7S, I believe it was the iPhone 8, was the first one that came out that without that S marker on there. And now we're going to be seeing him take over that. He's just taking over that area where it's going to be moving into that home assistant helper thing, where they're going to be having like the Alexa, like I was talking about before. Amazon Alexa is going to be that first model that came out. Then you have Google Home, and then now Apple's just trying to copy that over. Obviously, they have had a lot of success with Siri on the phones. I mean, people seem to love it, and having the ability to just tell Siri what to do. Now they have the ability to just, not without even pressing a button, you can just say, "Hey Siri." Obviously, if your phone is charged enough, I have my iPhone where I can just say, "Hey Siri," and she'll come up and be like, "What's up?" I mean, careful, it doesn't happen right now. But I mean, they're just trying to get this same Siri everywhere, I believe. And then with Giandrea, it's just going to be interesting. As I was saying, it's going to be a test for Siri's privacy policy, as he usually is, just kind of private eyes and ears. I mean, the biggest hurdle is that the hardware isn't compatible, his commitment to hyper privacy. I mean, Google and Amazon use their data to build out their machines, you learning algorithms. They have a lot of data research pulled from everywhere, so they're allowed to give that AI. So the more information you can give an AI, the better you can give an algorithm where it's learning more information every minute. Siri hasn't really done that. They kind of limit her. I keep saying her. They kind of limit the ability for Siri to learn, as it is a hyper privacy, as Apple has that high commitment to privacy as they always have. It's just going to be interesting, as Apple is now explaining, it's going to be, if many people are submitting the same data, the noise that has been added can average out our large numbers of data points, and Apple can see meaningful information emerge. So they're now starting to get, they're going to try and get more information through just large quantities, where they're going to go off of trends more often than specific individual information from each user, as you've seen from Google and from Amazon. And it's just a lot harder than Google. That approach is different. I mean, when you're getting individual raw data from each person versus just using a collective, like now Apple's saying they're going to be using, it's going to be a slower haul for Siri to advance into the same AI space as these, because they all have names, I believe. I think Alexa has been able to, as you mean, my parents have Alexa at home. Whenever I go over there, they can just say, "Hey Alexa, play this on Spotify," or something like that, and she just does it. I haven't gotten that far on Siri on my phone. I can't tell her to play Spotify, maybe because she's partial to Apple Music. But it's just interesting how you can do voice recognition. They can tell who's playing what. I mean, you can tell the AI to learn more things about your specific family. Siri is more person to person, where it's obviously a personal assistant on your specific phone versus these now iHomes or whatever, the Google Homes and the Alexas with the Amazon Dots and the new big towers they have that you sit on your kitchen counter. It's for an entire family or for an entire household that they're going to have to use one AI project or one AI portal to get to handle multiple people versus having just one person. So it's going to be interesting how Apple does this. I mean, this fact that Giandrea might have his work cut out for him, and the fact that he's coming over from a place where it was so much more free-flowing information compared to Apple, where it's going to be much more close to the vest. I mean, that's what their whole point about it. I mean, Google is going to be the fact that he's going to try and get Siri to be that hyper-local Google assistant. I mean, that's the whole point, is that they want to get comparable and competitive with the Google Assistant, and now we're seeing that. I mean, the track for Siri's hires, I mean, that Apple is really trying to ramp this up. Over the last few years, they've seen over 100 new hires in the Siri market over the last few months, I should say, actually, not years. In about a month, about 1 year probably, so 11 months. They're trying to get people on that same level as Gianandrea. He's coming over from Google to bring over his expertise. I mean, this whole interest, it's interesting, though, because the whole idea of privacy is that Apple doesn't really want you to... I mean, they don't really want you to figure out what everybody's doing. They really respect each other's privacy. The whole idea, like I was talking about before, is the fact that with AI, the more data you can give it, the better. I mean, with Apple, they just are trying to go off of this collective when they're trying to see. It seems like they're describing something as a trend where they're trying to get these people to oversee multiple people doing it. We'll take it as a trend. We'll take it as that information. Then we'll plug it into Siri. Versus Google is taking each individual user's data and plugging it right into the algorithms for the learning of these AIs. So Siri's got some learning to do. She's got some growing to do. Alexa, I think, has already leapfrogged it, the program, the technology, even though it came out second. But then again, Siri was always, like I said, Siri was always meant to be that program and that AI that was put on phones. I mean, you can have now, I think Windows has Cortana, same kind of thing. You can have it through the Windows phones didn't really do much, but through Windows 10 on the laptops and the personal computers, you can talk to Cortana. We'll see how. I mean, I don't believe they're as close to the vest as Apple is, but I mean, it's the same kind of thing where it's a personal assistant and you're just dealing with one person to one AI machine, versus now they're trying to get it to these home speaker systems, these home devices where you're ordering groceries and playing music. And I mean, I play Jeopardy on my parents' little Amazon Echo. It's called an Amazon Echo, and then it has the Alexa capabilities on that. So it's interesting how these companies are now sharing employees and they're trying to get this all the same technology. And we'll see what Gianandrea is going to have some pushback from Tim Cook regarding these privacy issues and the data collecting, because that's what you need. That's the lifeblood of AI, is this data, and the fact that you need all this data in order to get the right learning algorithm for these programs. I mean, the more you can, the more it's going to learn, because you don't want to limit these programs. They're designed to expand and learn throughout the whole course of their creation. That's the whole process of AI. It's artificial intelligence. It's not, you have to tell it what to do. You have to be able to let it learn and be able to grow. It has its own brain where it's going to be able to interpret certain things and different commands that you're going to give it, because it's basically an assistant. That's the whole point. I mean, Google didn't even mess around giving it a name. It's called a Google Assistant. They didn't give it a person's name. I mean, we have Siri, which could have an acronym. I don't believe Apple's ever come out with an acronym for that. But I mean, that was the big fad when it came out originally on those first few iPhones. And now they're trying to get it over to the same level, but over to those home speakers. So Gianandrea has got his work cut out for him. Apple definitely has to make some decisions regarding their privacy issues, but we're going to probably be seeing more and more changes when it comes to Siri. They want to get the same Siri everywhere. They want to, they want to just kind of, I don't know, rather than copying Google, I was going to say, they or copying Amazon, they want to make it kind of their own. Always Apple's been that higher premium. I mean, they take their time. They're not going to be racing anybody to try and get a product out. They want to make it right themselves. They want to make sure it's their kind of to their standards and things like that regarding whatever technology or software or hardware, even hardware they're going to be using. So just going to be interesting. So it's going to be, like I said, like they're saying on these message boards, I mean, on these reports, that Gianandrea isn't a sign that Apple is changing its philosophy, but it's rather doubling down on it. They're trying to get these people to transfer over to these their way of thinking, even though they're coming from companies that may not have that kind of way of thinking. Tim Cook is taking that model that that Steve Jobs put out there for him to run out with, and now they're just going to have to expand in order to sell more of their products. So the new products are coming out. They're going to have to expand that kind of way of life and way of thinking in order to integrate it into these home speakers and be able to get Siri and that AI out there where you're not diving into people's personal business or personal data, but you're going to be using these bigger trends. And I believe Apple can be able to, they probably can make whatever algorithm they want if they're going to be making one of these series for everything here, and then using Giandrea's expertise from Google to try and integrate. Maybe they'll go half and half there regarding getting that information, finding a way to get it without getting a breaching their personal or their company-wide privacy stance that they've always had. All right, so that's going to wrap it up for this this second segment and the first half of the show here. We talked about Xbox and Xbox One X, the Xbox One S, the comparisons between that and the first segment. Then we went over the new hire here at over at Apple down in the Bay Area in Silicon Valley. The fact that they kind of grabbed a guy from Google to be their new AI chief to try and get Siri to be compatible with all of their new products that are going to be not just personal assistants, but home assistants for the whole household. And then how that's going to play in with their privacy stuff regarding their idea of data sharing and how they're going to have Siri learn more capabilities and get more learning algorithms. All right, so we'll take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about more Apple stuff regarding their new iOS and how they've had some issues, and then some more reports on Microsoft and the Windows 10. All right, we'll be right back.
The average sedan is built with a steel frame and equipped with 6 airbags. Remember this the next time you see someone walking. Drivers, be aware. Pedestrians don't have armor. A message from the California Office of Traffic Safety.
All right, welcome back to this third segment now of the GSMC Technology Podcast. In the previous two segments, we did go over the new Xbox One X in the comparison to the model that came out last year, the Xbox One S, the smaller and lower-priced model. Now we have the Xbox One X, that is the more expensive, but also the most powerful, deemed the most powerful Xbox that Microsoft has released to this date. In this segment, we're going to go back to more Apple news. They are going to be rolling out the new, they did roll out the new iOS 11.3, but we're having some issues with it because it is a more important release, but they are having another issue with their privacy and with their protocols, because this is being reported that now that these protocols, which is used by companies and institutions to remotely manage and update huge numbers of iPhones and iPads, is now being broken because of this new iPad, this new iOS 11.3. So now companies that have big user bases with their employees, whether they give their employees all phones or tablets, and trying to be able to manage or update them remotely, is no longer being able to be done with this new update. I mean, obviously, it's probably just a bug, but it's unfortunate to see that there's a bug in a iOS that was so heavily beta tested. So Apple's got some interesting work to do. I mean, this is the new features with the support with the whole battery health ideas. These, I mean, if I want to read exactly what Apple's description of this new software is, it's iOS 11.3 introduces new features, including the ARKit 1.5 with support for more immersive augmented reality experiences. So that's how it has to do with all of your AI stuff, and if you have the goggles and the virtual reality stuff. Then it has the new iPhone battery health beta. So it's a beta testing their new program, which is for the iPhone battery health, some new Animojis for the iPhone X users and more. And it also says that it includes stability improvements and bug fixes. So they're going to have to do another one quickly for more bug fixes because they're having issues that are returning a new response that does not match Apple's documented protocol. So they're not able to have updates or management through from remote sources for a mass amount of iPhones that a lot of companies use. So the failed response will cause the device to remain in a failed loop, which prevents it from further commands from that, from whatever they're sending off that signal from, as reported from Forbes.com. This is just an issue, another issue that this is happening for Apple. I mean, it's not just saying, it's not like Apple Music doesn't give as good recommendations as Spotify. This is a big issue for big companies that have deals with Apple. I mean, I can imagine they have all these contracts with Apple to be using all their, to be their sole proprietor of cell phones for their employees. I mean, that's what they're kind of cornering the market when it comes to big companies and their employees getting these phones, and instead of having employees go out and buying whatever phone they want, they're just kind of telling them, oh, you know, you're going to get an Apple and we're going to pay for it. So, I mean, I know my uncle, for example, is a doctor down at Kaiser, and he has a Kaiser Apple iPhone. So that could be, he could be somebody that's affected by this issue because of the fact that his bosses can't effectively manage and operate or update his phone for him, which is the responsibility of that company to do so. All right, so that's a little bit of news there regarding Apple. It's just interesting seeing that they have something like that happen to them when they have these things beta tested for a long time. I know it's not quite a massive iOS overhaul like you see with the, it's just a 0.3. So it's just interesting seeing this is going to be, this is happening to Apple. And some more news. Google employees demand that the company pull out of the Pentagon AI project. So, I mean, we already talked about AI in the last segment, but we're going to talk a little more about this. This is regarding Google. Obviously, they lost their chief going over to Apple. Mr. Giandrea going over to Apple to help with the Siri advancement into the base of getting off of, you know, just using it for individual use and getting to more of multiple user use in like the households for those new home devices. So Google just released information now that it's actually using their AI technology to help the Pentagon, and for that can be better analyzed drone footage. And about 3,100 Google employees have signed a letter urging that the CEO to reevaluate the company's involvement, as Google should not be used in the business of war. This was reported by the New York Times, and that's the project in the at the Pentagon is called Project Maven. It was began last April, actually, and while details on what Google is actually providing to the Department of Defense is not clear, it is understood that it is a Pentagon research initiative for improved analysis of drone footage. In a press statement, a Google spokesman confirmed that the company was given the DoD, Department of Defense, access to its open-source TensorFlow software using machine learning applications that are capable of understanding contents of photos. So it's all about photo recognition and more of the automatic photo recognition. So basically you're giving a computer eyes to analyze photos. And Google definitely has some serious knowledge in that. I mean, you could do it yourself. I mean, you have the reverse image search with Google. You can go find a picture, you upload it to Google, and they'll basically scan the picture or have that, I don't think it's the same software, but just a lower version of that software. Take a look at that picture, and then they'll try and find something similar, or at least find that picture on the internet somewhere, wherever it may be posted. So it's interesting how they're doing this. Google has come out and said that its work on this project is non-offensive. However, their employees don't seem to be thinking like it is, because they're definitely 3,100 of them do not want this to happen. So the letter goes on to ask that Google has stopped its involvement in Project Maven, and that the company create and enforce a policy stating that it will not engage in the building of warfare technology. Because, I mean, that's exactly what it is. I do understand that this could be used for a better use of the drone program for the Pentagon and for the Department of Defense. If you have Google's technology to analyze these photos taken by drones, they can better take action regarding whatever they want, whatever they're seeing on the picture. If they have to use a guessing game here, you might lead to some ill-advised decisions from the Pentagon. However, it doesn't look like Google's employees care to think that. They wanted to just be out of the realm of the warfare anyways, saying that this is not something signed up for, and the contract puts Google's reputation at risk and stands in direct opposition of our core values. The letter continues on, building this technology to assist the U.S. government in military surveillance and potentially lethal outcomes is not acceptable. I mean, it is true because you have to think about it. That's what the Department of Defense does. They have these drones taking pictures. Could be some bad people out there they're taking pictures of, but it does end probably in some taking of human life regarding whatever they see on the ground with these pictures. They're going to probably be sending another drone with not a camera on it, or with the camera and some weapons on it. So these Google employees are not happy about it. They did report on New York Times that any military use of machine learning naturally raises valid concerns, and that they are engaged across the company in a comprehensive discussion about this important topic. That was a Google spokesman talking to the New York Times. And also continued on saying the technology is used to flag images for human review and is intended to save lives and save people from having to do highly tedious work. I mean, I believe that, actually. That's what I thought when I first originally read about this, the report, and the fact that, I mean, the big glaring report is the fact that these Google employees are having problems with this, but it looks like they're just kind of missing. I think they're almost missing this point. I mean, they're using it almost for good. And I know it probably does end. When you think military, you're going to think that something ends badly. But this, the whole point is they're getting mass amount of images, mass amount of data. And when you have these guys in these, whether it's a bunker or office or wherever, they're in the Pentagon somewhere deep underground, looking at these pictures, I mean, this is tedious work and they might make a mistake. I mean, there's always human error. But when you have a highly sophisticated program that is going to be flagging these images and basically scanning these images itself with the eyes that Google gave this computer, basically, it could lead to some better decisions made by the DOD and in the Pentagon. So it could lead to actually saving some lives. And there are other companies such as Amazon and Microsoft who have worked on defense projects, but Google employees backing this letter don't see it as a way to endorse Google's work on Project Maven. So, I mean, the fact that Google is like, oh, they could point at their competitors and can point at their compadres in the tech world that, hey, they're doing it too. Google, the employees don't seem to care. I mean, Google's has a unique history of its motto being "Don't be evil," and its direct reach into the lives of the billions of users set it apart. I mean, the letter states, as it completes its statement on the fact that a lot of these employees do not agree the fact that they're going to be involved in this or are involved in this project with the Department of Defense. I don't know if they can really do much. The contracts are contracts, and if anybody has a contract and has demands the respect and keeping up of that contract is the Department of Defense and the Pentagon. I mean, in the past, Google has been careful about its ties in the military. They have had some run-ins with them in 2013. It rejected funds from the Department of Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, that's DARPA, after buying up strings of robotics companies with ties into military research organization. I mean, that's DARPA is that it's that it, they're the, they work in the dark, the dark room down there, the deep in the dark, dark depths of the Pentagon, where they're going to be doing advanced research projects, trying to maybe weaponize, whether it's weaponizing computers or getting the ability to get robot. I mean, that's what the whole idea with them. We saw in Iron Man, they're making those robot, the robot soldiers. So I'm trying to say is what they're doing. So, I mean, that's what the thing, when they saw Google was buying up a string of robotics companies, they're trying to give them some more money in order to help them out over at DARPA. So it's just an interesting there piece of news there, going back to Google. We were talking about AI in the previous segment. Now just coming across that, I wanted to bring that up because now we have Google getting involved with AI in our military. I mean, they probably have been the ones that have moved forward the most when it comes to artificial intelligence, especially when compared to Apple. We talked about how Apple is now trying to get Siri on the same level as that Google assistant that you'll see, and even Alexa that you see over at Amazon. for these home home speakers and home assistants that you're going to just put on your kitchen counter or put in your bedroom and talk to it like it's a person and order your groceries and have it play music for you or tell you a joke or say good morning to you or read your news. I mean, those things have endless capabilities, and it's all about AI because they keep learning and keep getting new abilities, whatever, basically learning off of you and your daily routine, whatever you may be doing with your home device is going there to help you out and kind of just assist you in any way you can. All right. So that's going to wrap it up for this segment. We did go over a couple things regarding Apple and its iOS 11.3 issues. So be advised if you're a proprietor of a large company that has a contract with Apple in order to give your employees all of their phones, you might want to be, you probably already know that because that's a pretty specific thing, but it's just an interesting fact that Apple, a big company that usually tries to keep its things under wraps and tries to limit those mistakes, something that's so... But 11.3, something that was a big deal with their whole AI rollout and everything. They're having an issue with just mass group management and capability of a update. So we'll be right back. We're going to talk about in our last segment. We're talking about Microsoft and the new rollout for the Windows 10 and some capabilities regarding that for all you PC users out there. So. I'll be right back with talk about that.
The average SUV has two blind spots, weighs between 4 and 6,000 pounds, and takes about 6 seconds to stop. Remember this the next time you're on foot. Pay attention, people. Pedestrians don't have armor. A message from the California Office of Traffic Safety.
All right, welcome back to the GSMC Technology Podcast. This is our final segment of the day here. In the previous segments, we did talk about the Xbox One X and the Xbox One S, how to do some enunciation practice there, and the differences between those two and the fact that Microsoft has now come out with two different models for the first time of the Xbox One, the ultra-powerful one, it's the X, and then one is more of the slim model. The lower priced and slim model that is the S. So in this segment, we will talk about some stuff with their other products. That is the Windows 10 platform for your PC and your laptops that you have gotten from Microsoft that run the Windows 10 platform. There is some reports out that they are going to be coming out with this new thing called Sets. I kind of hinted to it in the beginning of the show, talking about the fact that these sets are going to be able to run multiple programs all at once while you can have different tabs on top and see them versus having to click and toggle through multiple different windows in the bottom of, on your toolbar there at the bottom. So Microsoft, definitely a company that has been trying to get on the right footing there. They've been on the back burner right now when it comes to the Windows application. I mean, they've been getting their stuff figured out for the Xbox, like I was talking about in the first segment, and now they're going to be getting their stuff ready for the PC market and trying to get that rolled out. As you're going to be seeing some upgrades regarding their calculator improvements. They're going to have better calculations, I think, to run better, more in-depth ability to run more in-depth calculations for your more advanced math people, and then also better Bluetooth capability regarding the their wireless keyboards, and then speaking and their voice activated stuff with Cortana and stuff like that. So. It's a service. It's just built in a different way. They're gonna have the same that RS5 branch. They're representing the Windows 10 update. The company that plans to reach much more later this year. I mean, they're gonna be releasing this update in this month. They're gonna have the build come ahead. So if he sets. It's not necessarily its file name, like I was saying, lets you run multiple apps in a single window using tabs. It should give you that should be able to open new tabs as a given window for whatever you're working on a little bit, whether it's web pages, research documents, necessary files, and so on. I mean, this is for more of that application for, I mean, for work computer, whatever you may be doing regarding your job. I mean, they're going to have different stuff. So now you can check on that and check on your tabs versus getting all your multitasking figured out. So you can now check your battery of your Bluetooth devices. So, I mean, they have it all compatible in there for when you have your, whether it's a computer or if you have a headset, wireless headset linked to the your PC, whether it's a keyboard or a headset linked to your PC, you now check the batteries, and the battery percentage will update whenever your PC and device are connected. The Windows calculator has been updated to fix the smaller but serious bug. The app is now correctly calculate square roots for perfect squares. Previously, the calculation was only an approximation. The desktop build includes the following general bug fixes and improvements. Fix an issue resulting in duplicate entries and disk management. Fix an issue that could result in the certain UWP app silently terminating when minimized. Fix an issue resulting in certain devices with BitLocker enabled and expectedly booting into BitLocker recovery in recent flights. Fixed a raise condition that could result in the taskbar not auto-hiding after opening and closing the smart menu while full screen window was visible. Fixed an issue where typing in start would switch to a blank Cortana screen if start was open when the PC went to sleep. Fixed an issue when using Arabic as your display language where after using an X to close the touch keyboard and a UWP app text field might stop coming up automatically in that field. And lastly, it consolidated the places where you can adjust their display brightness by removing the display brightness slider in the control panel power options. In the display brightness section under power options advanced settings, you can still adjust your brightness, display brightness via settings system display brightness in the action center via keyboard and via keyboard hotkeys. So it will bump the Windows build they're going to be available testers on March 29th to, they have 17,636 builds, and they're going to be testing it on, they tested it starting last week. So now we're having issues already with the build, but they're not going to be able to, they don't want you to install it on your production machine. All right. So little tech news. I mean, that was a little tinkery all the stuff coming out for Microsoft and their new Windows 10 update. So I'm just going to go over some basic news now as we have some time at the end of the show here, just to kind of give you some updates on what's going on. We're going to do some gaming updates. New Overwatch Archives event lets you play a key story moment. So if you want to go talk about Overwatch, we'll do that for just a second here. You can go back. Blizzard has revealed Retribution, a new mission. They'll be coming to Overwatch as part of the Overwatch Archives event, like 27's Uprising, which allowed players to experience Tracer's first ever mission as a part of Overwatch. Retribution develops into another key moment of the series' lore. As you travel 8 years into the past and join Blackwatch as they seek to capture a high-ranking member of the Talon organization. So for all you Overwatch fans out there, be sure to pay attention to that, and you can learn more about that over on GameSpot. There's going to be some more stuff coming to Xbox and PS4, as we have, and then also World of Warcraft and the Battle for Azeroth launches August 14th. I remember when World of Warcraft was all the rave. It's starting to make a comeback here now as we have our PC gamers listen up here, as we'll have a August 14th launch for the new World of Warcraft expansion, the director revealed that during a preview event heard earlier at Blizzard's California HQ, the seventh expansion for its nearly 14-year-old MMO takes players to the high seas in search of allies and aid to in a renewed conflict between the Horde and the Alliance. Battle for Azeroth isn't just a fuzzy nostalgia. However, Blizzard is cramming in more than a few unconventional ideas from Warcraft 3-inspired Warfronts to the highly dynamic island expeditions where teams of three race against either human or advanced AI opponents in a super fun PvPvE mode. on more on that later. So, yeah, they're coming out with a new thing. Yeah, oh, here we go. Battle for the Azeroth will let players set sail for the islands. Kul Tiras and Zelant Sandalar. Each faction will have their own continent to explore while just questing up to the new cap level of 120. In terms of features, all the usual suspects for a major World of Warcraft expansion are here, including new dungeons, raids, and progression systems. All your new World of Warcraft stuff coming out in August. So just pay attention to that. I know it's a little long way off, but they're just announcing it now that it's going to be coming out in the next few months. They're having an issue, as I'm just looking through our daily news here. Facebook temporarily ruined Love for Tinder users, but it's fine now, as Tinder was crashing due to some issues with Facebook and the fact that they're linking each other together. Thousands of people's features have just been diverted into a different course as their prospective spouses, lovers, and hookups were ripped from their grasp by a change of Facebook permissions. So Facebook changed the permissions and definitely changed up the way that the online dating app Tinder, when you log in and try to open up the app, Facebook presented a login screen telling them that they needed to update the permissions within Facebook, and then there was nothing to do on Facebook. You'd go look at your permissions on Facebook and be like, what do I do here? But it's just interesting how now they've already have fixed it, so you can go onto your Tinder and find your latest match. So don't worry, guys or ladies. Next up, we have the Apple. Another Apple news. The iPad is having some issues with its gesture abilities. So using an iPhone X and iPad Pro is getting confusing. It's trying to have these gesture things where you can do more hand movements. Back in 2010, the iPad was heavily criticized for being a big iPhone. They're trying to make it change up, obviously, where it's that big, where it's now going to be a tablet. They're ditching. They were thinking about ditching the iPad Pro a home button on the new model in favor of Face ID. It is a move that I believe does make sense. If they're going to try and get this Face ID thing working, they have to really go for it. So on this iPad Pro, they should, hold it up to your face. It'll open up for you and get rid of, you'll have no home button as you do on that iPhone X. Later, they're trying to get that home gesturing, for example. So it's the longest time you press the home button on the iPad. It was kind of a fail-safe to get you back to the home screen. Now, if for all you iPhone X users now, you kind of have to swipe up, find the right spot in that bottom of the screen to swipe up, and it'll take you out of your app back to your home screen. They're trying to get that figured out on the iPad, as now there has been issues reported for people who are trying to do that on their iPhones. But it's just having a little bit of a problem as now they're trying to get that all figured out for the iPad Pro, as they're going to be likely taking away the home button from the iPad Pro, as you are now going to have some new gestures on the iPad, and then be having just have to swipe down for the control center, just like the iPad X, and then you have your little side swipes for changing apps and then pressing on the side of the phone to change your app. So that's been around for a little bit, but that's kind of the news as we go through these last few minutes of our show here. Just looking at what we're going to be talking about next week. We've been talking a lot about Apple. We've been talking a lot about Microsoft a little bit more. And we did have that Spotify IPO on Tuesday. We'll probably check in on that next week and see how that's been performing on the stock market and the NASDAQ, and if the investors have been taken to it. So let's just recap what we talked about today. We did talk about the Xbox One X, the Xbox One S. We went over the issues with Google and their employees having problems with the fact that they're allowing the Pentagon to use their software, the AI software for drones and to analyze pictures that drones take. And then we have also talked about the fact that Apple's having issues with their Apple iOS 11.3 when it comes to mass users, these companies that you give their phones to employees and are going to be trying to update them for them or manage the phones from a remote distance. It's not having some issues with that and not following the right protocols. All right. So we also did get some gaming updates with World of Warcraft and some releases for that. Can't say releases for that. And also a couple things regarding Overwatch and their new storyline they're going to be coming out with for you to go back and look at for you Overwatch fans. So that's going to do it for this show. We have talked about a lot of different stuff here in the tech world. There's going to be more. Obviously, the tech world moves real fast. We went through Facebook and how it ruined Tinder for a couple days or a day for those Tinder users. And then we'll have some more stuff to talk about next week. These technology shows are going to be every Tuesday and Thursday here at the GSMC Podcast Network. So stay tuned for that, and be sure to go look at the show from Tuesday if you want to hear about the Spotify IPO and some of the other stuff that I talked about over there a couple days ago. So I'm going to sign off for now, and we'll talk to you next week.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.